Hey, everybody. This is Gavin Durson with the Keep It Simple podcast, along with my cohort,
Tom LeCompte.
And listen, real quick, want to get a plug in. October 7th and 8th, near Lexington, Kentucky, in Wilmore, Kentucky, we're going to be having our annual Simple Church Conference. It's more of a retreat this year, so bring a sleeping bag. You're going to want to bring some clothes for hiking and this sort of a deal. It's going to be a great time. We're really excited to be at Old Wilmore Camp Meeting. If any of y'all ever went to Ichthus way back in the day, it was the original site of Ichthus, but now it's run by a ministry called Adventure Serve, and we're going to be taking the place over and hanging out for a short time, just over 24 hours, and we'd love for you to join us. Bring your whole family this year. We're going to have kids that are going to be able to be a part of it. We're going to have worship, food together, eating together, hanging out, do some training times, and we're also excited to be welcome Lee and Stacy Wood from Tampa, Florida, who are part of One Body Global there, and they've been a part of seeing God do amazing things with Simple Church in Tampa area. And we're super excited to be hanging out with them. You'll love meeting them. We'll love meeting you. Make sure you come and join us. Simple Church Conference 2017, October 7th and 8th. Register today, simplechurchalliance.com. That's simplechurchalliance.com. There'll be a tab in at the top, Simple Church Conference. Click it, and then all the details will be right there. So we hope you can join us October 7th and 8th here in Kentucky.
Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Welcome to the podcast today. This is Tom LeCompte.
And I'm Gavin Durson, and we really appreciate you joining us here today. I'm going to jump right into the topic today. I have been probably wrestling with this idea for many years, but want to introduce it today, and we'll probably do a part two, not next time, but maybe a little later on we'll have a follow-up to this conversation, because I think this is a conversation that's really important to have. And so Let me just set the stage by saying this. Tom, you and I have talked a lot about disciple making. Yeah. And in fact, I would even say that one of the reasons I do Simple Church is because it allows us to focus on making disciples and not waste our efforts and energy doing a lot of other things, right, that maybe aren't so as important. And I know that this idea of making disciples is not unique to anyone in Simple Church. In fact, if you listen and hear around, a lot of voices from around the nation, I think, are kind of coming back to this idea of, hey, wait a minute, we're doing all these things, but we're not, are we really making disciples? And discipleship, in some ways, I think, has, in the last few years at least, since I started doing Simple Church, has seemingly become almost a buzzword in a lot of circles and a lot of churches. And I don't know. That can be good or bad, I suppose. But I remember part of my story with making disciples when I was younger. I remember being very turned off by people who talked about making disciples when I was in college, because it seemed to be a very rigid, a very kind of, they had their way of making disciples, and if you didn't, it was almost, and I think it was probably more of my immaturity at the time, but it seemed to me that it might have been more of a deal where it's like, well, if you weren't making disciples with them in their way, going through their materials or whatever, that you weren't, maybe you were a lesser of a Christian. And it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way at the time. And now looking back now, I'm sure their heart was great, and I know that a lot of people were really touched and impacted by a lot of the folks that were a part of these ministries by their efforts. But anyhow, the question I always kind of come back to is, are we, in our advocation of making disciples, becoming like, I don't want to say like that, but I was recently challenged, and I'll just read to you all here and read you, Tom. This is in Galatians chapter 3, and this is a really awesome passage that I think has a lot to say to the church today. But he says, Paul's writing the Galatians, he says, "You foolish Galatians, who has hypnotized you?" I think some versions say bewitched you or put you under a spell, "before whose eyes Jesus Christ was vividly portrayed as crucified. I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now going to be made complete by the flesh? Did you suffer so much for nothing, if in fact it was for nothing? So then, does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? He goes on to say in verse 10, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue doing everything written in the book of the law. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter there, but here's the question that I wrestle with and have is, at what point in our advocacy of simple church, making disciples, people reaching out to their neighbors, encouragement of people to listen and obey God and study the scriptures and become self-feeders of God's word and to not be idle in their faith, but to be active in their faith and all the things that we would encourage on this podcast and in our simple churches, at what point do we become, or can we become, advocates or people who are putting people under a spell as well? In other words, is any of that advocacy of discipleship, disciple making, is that what Paul's talking about here? Could we be inadvertently encouraging people to try to perfect themselves through a new law, a law that says, find a friend, meet with them every week, read the scriptures with them, challenge them to walk with God, help them start a house church, and whatever we might say or whatever we might advocate. And so I wrestle with that. I hope I'm always wrestling with that. But what do you think about that? Is the command to make disciples in some ways, can that become an idol? Can that become a new law that we put on Christians in order to make them believe they need to do these things in order to be perfected?
On the one hand, Devin, I want to say relax. I don't think we're talking about the same thing that Paul was talking about, because what Paul was talking about when in the early church, when Paul and the other disciples went out and did their missionary trips, you know, they would go and visit all these cities, they plant churches and make disciples, and you know, they would spend some time in a village and then they would go on to the next village. So what I think what Paul is talking about is, after they would spend some time in a village and a church was established, not long after they'd left, these Jewish people would come and say, well, you know, yeah, Jesus died for you and you know, you need to follow Jesus, but you also need to obey the law of Moses, you know, 100%. And if you're not circumcised, you got to be circumcised. So in addition to your belief in Jesus, start living, you know, according to the law of Moses, become a Jew, get circumcised, and then you'll be a complete Christian. So if you are familiar with the book of Acts, after a few of those trips, the apostles would come back together and say, look, these people are following us around. They're saying you have to become a Jew in addition to following Jesus. And what do we tell these people? And the council sat down and they hashed it out and they said, no, this is not the gospel we're advocating, that you have to become a Jew and then accept Christ. You accept Christ on the basis of your faith, and he takes you where you are and grows you from there. The law of Moses and everything is not a requirement for your relationship with Christ. So they basically told him, here's what we see in your culture that you're going to have problems with. You're going to have problems with idolatry, and out of that, part of that idolatry is sexual immorality. So if you get those two things under control, as you're following Jesus, you know, it's not a prerequisite to follow Jesus, but as you're following Jesus, get those two things out of control, then we will know for sure that that's going to be your fruit.
Yeah.
So I think what you're saying is not in that severity.
Yeah.
It's not as severe as that.
Well, let me, and I think I agree. I agree with you. But at the same time, I think it's something to think about. It's all something for all of us to think about, because I know that we're not immune from wanting to be perfected through works of the flesh.
Right.
Like, I know I'm not immune to that. And I know that, you know, a lot of us have been raised in a culture of Christianity that is very works-based. And what I mean by that, it's that if you're not in church every Sunday, or, you know, I mean, that's one the classic example, then, you know, you need to be in church every Sunday that the doors are open. I mean, that's a very much a Bible Belt idea that a lot of our parents, and even I grew up in to some degree, that was there, even if it wasn't explicitly stated. But I think maybe you would disagree that even something like that, if we're promoting a message like that, that is sort of, okay, great, you've been saved by grace through faith. God has saved you now, in order to be perfected, in order to become, like, now your job is to just work really hard to become a good Christian. And so here's how you do that.
Do as much
as you can. I don't know if that's what Paul, I think Paul could be talking about salvation here and not becoming a working really hard to be a good Christian. I don't know exactly. Maybe the exact issues here. I think what you're saying is right. It had a lot to do with the Old Testament law, trying to, you know, being circumcised and some of these other issues. But I think that, you know, a lot of people who may be listening to this podcast are here because they have been in a situation where they've just had this yoke put on them that's not been light and easy. It's not the yoke of Christ. It's been this church, Western church yoke of work, and do, and be a good Christian. Be here when the doors are open. Sign up to go on the mission trip. Volunteer. If you don't do that, then, you know, there's an undercurrent of, like, you're not really serious about your faith. Hmm. And there's these, you know, these, what I would say, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's not what this is talking about. But I think that a lot of folks in this vein of Simple Church, and I've met certainly people who have found Simple Church and sometimes even have a problem with Simple Church because of these things. They come to a training, we're like, hey, we're going to talk about being disciples, and we're going to train to obey the things that Jesus talked about, and we're going to really try to hold each other accountable to go out and share our faith. Like, they hear some of those things and they're like, man, I think you're creating a new set of religious rules for people to follow to be good Christians. And
right.
I don't necessarily agree, but I don't, at the same time, I think it's something to consider.
Yeah. I think you're always going to struggle with legalism, no matter what. Some type of legalism, even if you don't call it legalism. You know, there are certain denominations of the charismatic bent that, you know, if you don't have a certain gift, we're not real sure about your faith. Or, certainly, you know, your church attendance is an outward indication of your possible faith. Those things are, I don't know, those things, it's a fine line between fruit, you know, observing fruit and demanding, making demands.
Yeah.
So,
well, does Jesus make demands? Jesus make demands?
Jesus made demands, but Jesus was Jesus. We're trainers. Jesus holds, you know, Jesus is the judge. He holds their soul. We don't. Mm-hmm. So, if Jesus makes a demand, who are we to evaluate, you know, who am I to evaluate your obedience?
You know?
I don't know your heart.
Yeah.
I can observe you, and I can say, that Gavin, he's real good at this and this and this. You know, he's kind of weak here and there. But I don't know your soul. I don't. I could never say, Gavin, because you don't do enough of this, and I really question whether I'm going to see you in heaven. That's not up to me. Here's where I think what you're saying comes into play. Okay, let's say that you met a new young person. I think we talked about this scenario. You've met a new young person. You're sharing the gospel with him. He's interested. He's expressing interest in wanting to study more. He wants to come to your fellowships. And he tells you that he's living with a girl, his girlfriend, and, you know, they've been living together for years or whatever. At that point, what do you tell him? Do you tell him, you know, well, you can join our church, you can join our fellowship after you get your domestic life in order, you know? And to carry that one more a bit further, you know? What if you meet someone who's in the LGBTQ lifestyle, who's interested in Christ, who's wanting to learn more? What do you tell that person, you know? Or do you tell him anything at all? Or do you just keep discipling him? Do you keep sharing Christ with him, you know? Or are you expecting something from them prior to that?
I'll just kind of share with you sort of in my wrestlings with this. Like, I think it's a worthy thing to wrestle with. I certainly do not want to become someone who is advocating or putting weight on people's lives. Like, if they come around me or what I'm doing or advocating, that I'm advocating for people to follow some system or some program or do something that Jesus hasn't asked them to do.
Right.
Because I don't think that... But at the same time, I do want to be challenged myself and challenge others to follow Christ. I think where I'm at kind of with this is, as we think about helping others start house churches or making disciples, how do we view Jesus? This is the way I've thought of this analogy. And a lot of this has to do with our understanding of God's grace and our understanding of the cross and our understanding of who God is and what he did for us on the cross. If I'm looking at Jesus as a boss that called me into work on Sunday, was my day off, who I don't really care about, and I know but only from a distance, I'm begrudgingly looking at anything he might ask me to do, i.e. make disciples. And I'm going to be like, man, like, I don't really want to do this. Stinks. This is a burden. But if I'm looking at him as my closest friend, whom I'm indebted to, who died for me, who I was hopeless and helpless and could do nothing for myself until this person did something for me to set me free from my sin and to give me life, an abundant life, eternal life. And I'm looking at my friendship with this person and such that they call and say, hey, I need you to come along with me and do something with me. I've got a job for us to do. Then I'm not looking at that person as I would this boss at my factory, whom I don't really have a relationship with. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, yes, like, I cannot wait. Anything, you know, I would to spend time with you, to be a part of what you're doing, and to get to join you in what you're going to be doing today on my day off. Like, sign me up. You know, I can't think of a better thing to do because I love you. Like, I'm indebted to you. You've changed my life. I mean, it's just like I'm loving other people then in my efforts to make disciples because I have a deep appreciation and understanding that he first loved me.
Right.
It's Jesus said, you know, if you love me, you obey my commands, and my commands are not burdensome.
Right.
It's an understanding that.
It shouldn't feel like it's a terrible obligation. It might be hard, but it shouldn't feel like, oh man, I got to do this now. If your burden is light, it's like, I enjoy hiking, you know, and I got to hike up to the top of that hill, but I enjoy hiking so much, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to sweat, and I'm going to climb that hill because I want to, and I enjoy it. It's kind of the same thing.
Well, I think it comes like down to, you know, I think the message, the thing that I, as I wrestle through, is like, it does bring me back to God's work on the cross and like grace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if God is giving, put a person in my life, a person who becomes a Christian, you know, how much you know, do I help them? Am I sharing with them the true gospel, or am I just giving them easy believism? Am I helping people understand the best that I can God's grace? You know, because I think, and I can only do so much. God has to show that to them, but we have to help people, I think, truly the best that we can understand that, man, like, just what God's done for us. And when we do that, I think it does change us. It changes everything, changes our ambitions. Like, I can read this command and say, go make disciples. And, you know, my hope and prayer is that whether you're listening to this podcast or you're somebody that I run into in town later on today and some conversation comes up, you know, I think our heart is to look, who are those people out there who are indebted, who they are sitting there? And I think there are the folks that the Lord would put in all of our lives who are sitting there saying, man, like, not because they want to try to perfect themselves and earn their way into heaven, or because they think God's going to love them more if they do a bunch of stuff for Him, but they do understand, man, God has changed me. He has saved me. I was destined for hell. I was in hell, and He's rescued me from darkness. He's given me new life. He did that on the cross, and I love Him, and I want to be a part of what He's doing in this world, but I just don't know how. No one's ever explained to me, or I don't have any friend that knows how to encourage me to have relationships where I am involved in seeing disciples made, or God's using me to see disciples made. And I think, you know, it's not go sign up for this. If you want to get serious about your faith and be a real Christian, go sign up for this year-long discipleship course and study, work hard, and, you know, try to get out of there, and that's what you got. I mean, we don't want it to be like it. More of finding those people who understand God's grace and then helping them to see, well, you know what? Follow me as I follow Christ. I can show you how discipleship looks for me, and I can show you how I read the Bible. I can show you how I love my neighbor, and you can probably show me how I'm getting it wrong in ways that I don't even see, and we can learn together, and we can go with Jesus together in this life and be a part of what He's doing. I mean, that's sort of, I think, where I'm at with it all. But I definitely don't, you know, want to be inadvertently talking about discipleship or even simple church in a way that puts something...
You must do it this way.
It's putting weight on people that Jesus hasn't put on them. Right. You know, you brought up the Acts passage. Do you have that Acts 15, I think it is, right? You know, and again, this might not be talking exactly about the same thing, but I think that this passage is, you know, to me, it's like one of the most freeing passages in the whole New Testament, that sometimes I think in this conversation, we have to keep this in mind.
Okay, I'll just read some. Acts 15, starting at verse 1. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, quote, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. I mean, that's pretty blatant.
Yeah.
If you're not a Jew, you're not saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So they had a little conference. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversions of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them in order and to order them to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as He did to us. And He made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus just as they will. So
they go on to write in the, you know, they send a letter back yep. with them there, and you know, it starts in verse 23. It says, "This is a letter they took back with them," and so to report back to the folks, it says, "This is a letter from the apostles and the elders, your brothers in Jerusalem. It is written to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia. Greetings. We understand that some men from here have troubled you and upset you with their teaching, but we did not send them. So we decided, having come to complete agreement, to send you official representatives along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are sending Judas and Silas to confirm what we have decided concerning your question. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements. You must abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood or meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. If you do this, you will do well. Farewell." Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a very...
And he doesn't say, if you don't do this, you won't be saved. He just says, you know, this...
You'll do well.
You'll do well. This will be a good indication to us yeah. that, you know, you mean it.
Yeah.
But...
But it's this idea of putting a burden that
right.
people are not able to bear.
Right.
And I believe that the church... I do think there is something to say that maybe the church has done that.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like a
all
lot,
history.
Like
that. Yeah.
You know, I have a friend who will bring on this to continue this discussion in the next podcast. But I mean, I remember, you know, talking with him about this. He would even say he believes that the majority of churches to this very day, if you walk in there on a Sunday, they are putting burdens on people that they are not able to bear,
yeah.
and through what's being said and maybe implied, but. I know this. I don't want to be a part of that, but I also do know that I want to be a part of seeing this world redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it doesn't involve just me sitting around doing nothing. It doesn't involve me encouraging others to do nothing. It does involve us walking in the works that God has prepared in advance
right.
for us to do,
right.
being saved by grace, and then so that we, you know, but. I think it's an important topic, though, that we always maybe wrestle with and we make sure that our heart's in the right place and that we're not inadvertently putting legalistic rules on others who may
right.
be in our simple church or that we're interacting with.
Right. And you've heard us on this podcast, you know, especially like from a year and a half ago, you know, if you're new to simple church and you want to try this out and you want to give this a go, we would go 1 week. Step one, here's what you do. You know, find somebody else that is like-minded and then talk about it. You know,
yep.
Step two, do this. And step three, those steps were not intended to be any other requirement than, hey, this is our suggestion to how to start a house church. It has nothing to do with, you know, how do you find Jesus? How do I be... You know, what must I do to be saved? No, that
we're earning his love or somehow gaining a greater standing in his kingdom or
yeah.
being, you know, perfected as it talked about in Galatians. Like, you know, if anything, my heart is to help people understand that there is no tier level in God's kingdom.
No.
That
no.
there's, you know, we're all equal, and that's
but
part of why
you,
we're doing this.
You keep
this.
Saying, I don't want to inadvertently violate this. I think just the fact that you're concerned about it means that you're nowhere near
yeah.
inadvertently violating this. This is a whole different thing. This is like saying, to be a child of God, you must accept Jesus, plus you must do A, B, C, D. So
yeah.
This is the plus
yeah.
we're talking about. We're
yeah.
trying not
well,
to
I would
add
never,
any
I would, yeah, and I would never say that, obviously, but I also know that sometimes... I mean, I know this just from being married, that sometimes my wife hears me say things that I'm not saying. And I can only be responsible to that to a degree, right? But
she don't hear you, though.
She don't hear me, though. But but at the same time, I think it's something to be concerned about. Like, is the message, when we present to people the Christian life and what it looks like to walk with Christ and why we would do that and these things, you know, are we communicating that and demonstrating that and modeling something
right.
that is what we want to be, a message that we want to be communicated, you know, and not just assume that people are hearing me say, oh, you know, well, you know, like, yeah, you can go, why don't you go out and share your faith with your neighbors this week? Hopefully they're hearing me saying, you know, you don't have to go share your faith with your neighbors. God's going to love you no matter if you do or you don't. Right. But why don't you pray about that and consider if there's someone in your neighborhood who needs to hear the good news, and maybe God might call you to do that.
Let me give you a what I think is, I don't know. I can't really judge his motives, but I know this evangelist from Africa. I won't say where or who. And he has a training program that he trains other pastors and individuals on how to share their faith with Muslims. And as part of that requirement, if you're in his class, he has a requirement that you must share your faith at least, and I think the course is 4 or 5 weeks, but during that time, you must share your faith with a Muslim 120 times as part of the course. So now, he's not saying, you know, you're going to lose your salvation if you don't do that. He's using that as a requirement to graduate from his course as a training tool. To me, that seems a bit extreme, but I'm not in his context, and maybe that's what it takes. You know, because I've heard that, you know, you share your faith with a Muslim, you know, they won't accept it until they've heard it numerous times. So,
it's hard to...
That seems harsh to me, and you know, certainly if you've listened to this podcast, we're not advocating anything, you know, that harsh, although, you know...
Well, there's accountability, and that's part of the reason I think I've been struggling with, you know, the Zume project that we've talked about here. I've been doing that, and there is a definite degree of when you go through the Zume project, which I would encourage. They just updated the website, and I would encourage everybody to check it out. They're improving it, but it's really good. It's really good content, and it's really there to guide people to action and not to just listen to stuff, but to actually begin.
Well, I see you've already got the Zume haircut, and you're wearing the Zume clothes that they advocate. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
but there's a degree of there's a degree of accountability there.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I think, depending on the person, that could be like, thank you so much. Like, this is really helping me to take steps of faith that I know God has spoken to me about. I've just not known how to do it. I'm not known how to act out and to give away what God has given me, and this is so great. I'm so grateful, and thank you, Jesus, for leading me to these people. I mean, there's that attitude.
Right.
Or you could be that person in there and just be like, man,
you're not the boss of me. Don't tell me
you're
what
to do. You're not the this is junk. This is the same old, like, you know, rules and regulations. I mean, like, so much of that is, like, determined by the heart of the person who's there,
exactly.
You know? And we're all in different places, but maybe we just be sensitive to that, but... I definitely, you know, yeah, great conversation. Appreciate your thoughts, Tom. And we're going to continue this. I'm going to have a friend of mine come in a few weeks, and he's actually writing a book about this topic, and he's a guy that I've enjoyed some conversations with about this. And I think you'll be challenged by his perspective, and it's something that would be good for us to continue to consider, making sure that we're not being put under this hex or this...
We're not being
hypnotized.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that that's not us. That's what Simple Church is about. It's about walking in freedom and walking with our Lord and living and experiencing His grace and hopefully making room in our family, spiritual families, for new folks to join that and walk with Him and experience that as well. So,
although I have heard that hip hop music has a tendency to hypnotize people, so I just throw that out there.
All right. Well, speaking of which, then I'm going to go ahead and take this opportunity to give a shameless plug on the Stuff I Like segment. Tom, you know this, and a lot of people around the world are talking about it, but I just released my fifth album called Foolish Songs That Shame the Wise. A little bit of a biblical reference there. Not a ton of biblical reference beyond that, but a lot of goofy songs. If you're interested, check it out. Inside Joke, that's my alter ego hip-hop name. And we do have our my song about Simple Church on there that Tom likes. And
It's in my head now. I can't get it out.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Crazy hobby that started in college that's continued on to this day, and I enjoy putting smiles on people's faces, and hopefully this can be something that you might enjoy as well. But
cool. Check it out.
I'll
put a link on the website.
Thanks for joining us today. Keep It Simple Podcast. Shoot us a line. KeepItSimplePodcast.com. You can get a hold of Tom and I, or you can find us on Facebook, Tom LeCompte, Gavin Durson. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have a show idea or a topic you'd like to have discussed, or maybe God's doing something in your simple church community or something he's showing you, we'd love to have you on and hear your story and let you share that with others. We thank you guys. And be on the lookout. We'll have details coming soon about Simple Church Conference here in Kentucky coming up this fall. We'd love to have all of you all join us for that. But there'll be details coming soon on that. So stick around, and we'll see you next time on Keep It Simple.
See you later. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.